Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Empty Promise Podcast. My name is Chris, and today you are joined by me and my best friend in the whole wide world, Mr. James D. Downey.
Hello.
As we take you on episode 93 of the podcast on January 19th, 2020.
This week, we're going to be covering the story of Alcatraz Island. Most well known for its inescapable prison, Alcatraz survives to this day as one of the most popular sites in San Francisco, California.
Oh, yeah.
It's a small island that is full of history, mystery, and more.
Oh.
Do you like that?
That's beautiful. That's beautiful.
Also, we're going to cover in the news the next installment of the very popular National Treasure series.
What?
Oh, yes, sir. That's right. We'll talk about that a little bit later. And in person with the podcast, you'll hear about my difficulties with going vegan for a day.
I'm incredibly excited about the next National Treasure piece. I love Nick Cage.
Oh, yes, sir.
He's our National
Treasure. He has been in our news now the last 2 weeks. So
2 weeks. We could keep him running.
Yeah,
this could be a theme.
We'll find some interesting stuff about him if we keep going throughout the year.
Remember, you can find the video version of this podcast over at youtube.com/emptypromisepodcast, or if the video version is not good or you wish to take us with you on the go, the audio version is available over on any podcast hosting service.
If the video is just not good, it's one of your things.
Any podcast hosting service, just search for Empty Promise Podcast. You can get in contact with us through any of our social media sites, Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Just search for the handle Empty Promise Podcast, or get in touch through our email, which is
EmptyPromisePodcast@gmail.com.
And that's it. That's as good as she gets.
That's where you can reach us.
That's it. Thank you for joining me, D. It's been a pleasure.
That's episode 92. 93?
Today is 93.
Sorry.
Yeah. Today is January 19th, which means I have it on this day.
Beautiful.
Because I like to bring up some historic events on this podcast about things that happened on the day that we happened to podcast. So on this day, January 19th, 1883, I feel like we've covered this, like, 1883,
What could that be?
Any idea? No. Okay. So the first electric lighting system employed overhead wires built by Thomas Edison begins service at Roselle, New Jersey.
New Jersey?
New Jersey.
Very good.
That's, I guess that's okay.
Edison. I was reading a while ago about Edison and Tesla. Not necessarily them two arguing, but like they're different like ways of like sending electricity to the masses. And like they had this big feud.
It's funny you should say that because I recently watched The Prestige this week.
Yeah, with
and, Tesla makes, and Edison, the Edison Foundation makes a big kind of appearance, if you like, in that movie.
I don't even remember that. I have to watch that again.
See, the only reason I watched that, I looked up, I was scrubbing through, I think it could have been Reddit or Rotten Tomatoes. It was Reddit. About the budget given to Nolan's latest film.
Tenet.
It's like a ridiculous budget, and everyone was saying it's okay because of the stuff he actually accomplishes.
Uh-huh.
And then people started talking about like Nolan's greatest movies. The Prestige came up like as like number one time and time again, and I was like, wow.
I've heard it's like I've seen it and I enjoyed it, but like I've heard people just absolutely adore it.
Yeah, it's a good movie. Yeah. In 2013, January 19th, 2013, calcium deposits are discovered on Mars by NASA's Curiosity rover.
Cool.
That's a great name for a rover. The
Isn't
Curiosity.
There, they always have the fucking best names for these things.
Mm-hmm.
What was the first one called? Voyager.
Yeah, Voyager.
Voyager's not on Mars. It's like way out there.
Is it?
It's the furthest thing from Earth.
Did Voyager not crash on Mars? Is that not what he digs up in the Martian?
No, yeah. What is it? It's like, no, it's something else.
Is it?
Yeah. It's like Discovery or something like that. Oh. They have such good names. They're all great names.
Oh, did you see the, just now we're talking about this, did you see the space... the Space Forces.
Oh yeah, the uniform.
The uniform.
Yeah.
Why the hell do you need camo in space?
They are full on like green, yellow, and brown.
Yeah, camo, proper camo.
And it's like Space Force. You're gonna stick out like a sore thumb.
I know.
It's like, yeah, you guys are such idiots. They're gonna be looking for army guys.
In 2013, Lance Armstrong admits to doping in all seven of his Tour de France victories.
Ooh,
January 19th. That was a big thing.
Pretty sure
that was the Oprah Winfrey. Thing he did where he admitted. I watched the Lance Armstrong story thing on Netflix. It's brilliant.
Icarus, is that it?
No, that's a different one. Oh, you should watch that too.
Icarus.
Oh man, yeah, that's incredible. That's about the doping scandal, like the Russian government and how they're
behind the whole like
Olympic how they cover up the doping in the Olympics.
Excuse me.
And let me see if I can find one more.
These are nice modern ones. I like these.
Yeah.
Kind of relate to them.
Let's try 1983, the Apple Lisa. Do you know what the Apple Lisa is?
The Apple Lisa?
Yeah.
It's iMac?
Yeah. Like one of the... It's the first commercial personal computer from Apple Incorporated to have graphical user interface, or GUI, as we now know it.
There you go. Lisa, I'm pretty sure, is named after his daughter.
His daughter, yeah. His
Steve Jobs' daughter.
His, like, abandoned daughter, if you like.
Yeah, the one where he didn't, like, pay child support.
That's right, for, yeah.
He's got a messy history, that guy.
And the first computer mouse is announced. So there you go.
They did the first one?
Yeah.
Did they call it mouse? I'm just mystified by why they call these things. I mean, I know it looks like a mouse, kind of, but I just don't understand how, especially Apple, who are all about like branding, would call it just the mouse.
Apple branding is insane. They pump so much, like hundreds of thousands of pounds just into like logos and stuff, just to have it sitting right. It's incredible. But yeah, they were my on this day for this week, Dee. I have...
Those were good ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I like those.
Yeah, I thought January 19th was going to be quite quiet, but there you go. So I have some news. I know you have some news this week as well.
Yes.
I'm going to kick stuff off with the PlayStation 5 controller. The name leaks alongside with the key feature of the controller.
So this is news to me in that they're naming the controller.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
That could be,
if it's a good name though, well, it's going to be cool, I think.
They named all the other ones, but they're just like DualShock 4,
DualShock 3. Yeah, I see. Is it DualShock 6?
I don't know, actually.
Oh.
So the PlayStation 5 launch is set for holiday 2020, which with the reveal rumored to be as early as next month, now that Sony has confirmed that it'll be skipping E3 for the second year in a row in favor of unveiling its new console at its own PlayStation exclusive event, along with a clutch of PS5 games.
A clutch?
So far we've had a glimpse of the accompanying PS controller leaked through online photos and a patent that shows quite a few differences between the existing DualShock 4 and the upcoming PlayStation 5 peripheral. But now the official PlayStation France website appears to have leaked a key detail along with the controller's official name. somewhat unsurprisingly, the new controller appears to be called...
The DualShock 6?
The DualShock 5.
DualShock
5.
I thought there was a DualShock 5.
And will be backwards compatible with the PS4 and PS4 Pro. The details come from the console comparison page on the PlayStation France website that lists both the DS4 and the DS5 both under DualShock compatibility. The backwards compatibility feature is the most interesting takeaway from this. However, as it was just last month, Sony revealed a new back button attachment for the DS4, which echoes the design of the DS5, namely the pair of back buttons on the rear of the controller, which we know is
the Wii paddles.
Basically.
I think those are really cool. I kind of like those.
Mm-hmm. The backwards compatibility for the new controller paired with the reveal of the add-on for the DS4 seems to confirm that there will be new software features present on the PS5 or its titles that will call for a tweaked controller input.
Yeah. I think they're basically going to give us two extra buttons, which is great.
Yeah, it looks very much like a you know, the way pro controllers look for, you know, like...
The Xbox One?
Yeah, that's exactly.
But see, the difference with those is that they all map to like the existing buttons. Like, you don't have, like, two brand new buttons.
Yeah, so those back buttons will take the place of, like, A and B as such?
Maybe, or they'll just be completely brand new buttons.
Oh, right, okay.
They'll just be, like, they'll do whatever the game wants them to do, which I think is really cool.
Yeah.
I like the paddles. I think they look cool. I think they feel good. The
paddles are great.
I know, yeah.
Are you excited about this PlayStation 5?
For one reason.
Yeah.
It's completely backwards compatible.
Yeah.
So I'm like, I don't have any of my PlayStation 2 games anymore.
Yeah.
Right? But the idea that I can just go back and play any of them for, like, hopefully not too expensive of a price.
No, I wouldn't imagine.
I imagine it's fairly cheap. I'm kind of excited about that. I think that would be so cool if I just wanted to, like, fuck, I really want to play, like, GTA Vice City.
Downhill Domination?
Just can. Downhill Domination. Shrek. What a great game.
The Simpsons Road Rage.
The Simpsons Hit and Run.
Hit and Run was a good game. I played it primarily on GameCube, though.
Yeah, I played it on... I have it for the... 360.
Do you?
Well, the Xbox, but it plays on 360.
The Simpsons game was always my favorite game. You know the one where you actually get the, like...
Yeah, you play as, like, all the characters.
Quest. Yeah, it's my favorite
It's pretty
game.
Good. But yeah, that's what I'm most excited about. But then we'll see what exclusives and stuff they have as well.
What do you think is going to be their launch title?
Probably The Last of Us Part 2.
Yeah.
They're probably going to just go, it's going to be like both generation.
Yeah.
Because that's what I'd bet. I want to play that game the very best way I can.
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
I'll get a PlayStation 5 for that.
Just for that game, yeah. Yeah, yeah, I'm the same. This is as close, I think, as I've ever been to pre-ordering a console.
Yeah, I don't think I will anyway.
No?
Just because... You just never know. You know, you could find out that it does backwards compatible, but like only for like these games or something.
Yeah.
But we'll see. What about The Horizon? Do they have a sequel ready yet?
I don't think they'll have it ready yet, no.
Okay.
But I'm thinking, what do you call that samurai game
Ghost of Tsushima.
I think it'll be a launch title.
See, they'll have to do that on PlayStation 4 as well, will they not? Or have they? Maybe they've never said it's a PlayStation 4
game. They never said it was.
I always
thought Death Stranding was going to wait, and it would be the big one. But Death Stranding,
it's on PC now.
It just jumped right in.
So I think they couldn't make it like...
The game looks ridiculous.
I just don't care.
I just don't get it.
I don't get it.
It's supposed to be stealth.
Some people love it.
This game's got a fucking box coming out of his back. There's nothing stealthy about that, dude.
It's just Delivery Man, the game.
Yeah.
But it's the first Strand-type game, Chris, that was ever created. So
yeah,
it's a pioneer.
Yeah.
What's a Strand-type game?
What is a Strand-type game?
Death Stranding is a title.
Who knows?
I don't think I'll pre-order, but I'm definitely excited to see what they bring.
Yeah.
But I think Last of Us will be like their de facto. Yeah. Even if they have official exclusives.
I'm so excited for The Last of Us Part 2. So excited. Like, I have to replay it again, I think.
So do I. I haven't played it since I initially played it.
I did the campaign on the hardest difficulty. And it is such a good thing to get through like that. But yeah, I'm looking forward to that. The world's biggest food company is now making vegan sausages.
Right.
Okay. Do you know what the world's biggest food company
is? No, I was trying to think. I was like, is it like... No, I don't know what it is.
I can give you a clue if you think like Easter eggs.
Is it Nestle?
It is Nestle.
They're the biggest food?
Yeah.
Right.
Nestle are huge.
They are huge.
They do water, which I thought was weird.
They do water and...
When you go to America, you get Nestle water.
They're under like a lot of like criticism for that as well, aren't they?
Are they?
Yeah, because they take like their bottling plant is like California.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's like everyone's like short on water.
Because of...
And they're just like bottling it and selling it. Like, well, it's not our fault. Gosh.
Well, Nestle is adding vegan sausages to its lineup of imitation meat products as the world's largest food company moves to secure its position in the booming market for plant-based foods. The Swiss company said on Friday... It will sell soy-based bratwurst and chorizo-style sausages in 11 European markets under its Garden Gourmet brand starting in March.
Fair enough.
So they're launching a Garden Gourmet brand and vegan sausages are going to be...
Remember Greg's did the vegan sausage roll?
Yeah, people went mad for
that. And they're going like full hog on it now. They're like, we're going to have to ramp it up.
The Subway Beyond Meatball... Sub.
Oh,
I've had three people try it and they've said that it is just exquisite.
I love the meatball marinara.
Yeah.
I don't care if it's substituted with a meat alternative. Because I want to try these things out, Chris.
So there you go. Nestle are coming out with their own.
I'm more astounded that Nestle is the world's biggest food provider.
That's pretty, yeah. No.
I'm kind of shocked by that.
Pretty big that, yeah. When I said think Easter egg, I thought you were going to say Cadbury. I was like, that's a stupid thing to say.
You make a lot of chocolate.
Yeah.
They don't make food.
I had a little piece here from The Guardian. Should Netflix cancel David Fincher's Mindhunter? You read about this at all?
No.
No?
I haven't finished season 2 of it yet. Maybe if I had, I'd understand better. But I thought it was pretty good.
Apparently it's failed quite badly. We're always being told about the Netflix algorithm, the mountain of user data analyzed to determine what sort of show should or shouldn't run on the service. The sixth sense ability to tell us what we want to watch based on things we've already watched is what's given Netflix the jump on its traditional competitors, and yet the failure of Mindhunter might be a sign that the algorithm is finally broken. This week, news emerged that while not officially cancelled, Mindhunter has been put on the sort of indefinite hiatus that has allowed its cast to seek work elsewhere.
Oh,
in all likelihood, though, it won't be back.
Yeah. That looks to this a lot. They'll just literally just let a show hang.
Mm-hmm. And Fincher is also like buried in other commitments, apparently. Yeah. So I didn't watch Mindhunter, so I didn't really...
We got rightly through it. I wanted to finish it, but I guess I can understand it. The second season should have been like way more intense.
It just wasn't.
It led up at some point, so you were like, why? Like,
yeah.
But anyway.
No.
Oh, well.
No. I'll talk a little bit later about stuff I've been watching, but Mindhunter is not one of them.
Mm-hmm.
You want to hit me with a piece of your news?
One piece of news I don't have it down, I just noticed that during the week, is that Netflix intend to spend something like $13 billion creating new shows in 2020.
Oh, I'm so glad to hear this, though.
$13 billion. Like, it's such a
I was always against number. The whole Netflix thing. Like when it first came out, obviously, because at the time I couldn't get Netflix, but more so because at the time as well, I was always mad into collecting like a massive DVD
the physical thing.
Yeah. And I still love that. Don't get me wrong. I still buy Blu-rays, always Blu-rays.
But there's like a there's nearly a purpose now when you buy a Blu-ray. It's like, I know like this show was good and I want to have it
forever
on yeah. disc.
But Netflix is just so handy.
Yeah. Like, you watch things you never would have watched.
Last night I found myself lying just on the bed after work. And I was like, I have to go and shower.
Yeah.
But I put the TV on, Netflix was on. And the first recommendation was It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. Never seen the show, never heard anything apart from you talking about it. I watched the first three episodes, killed an hour just lying there. I was like, what am I doing?
I know.
I was like, I have to get up. You know?
It's a good show.
It's a good show, yeah. It's a great show, yeah. But yeah, it's just, it's so handy and everything's there and it's just so available and they're just doing good things.
They are. I mean, they kind of just throw money at the wall at this point because they create so many original shows. Yeah.
But they're opening that theater as
some
well.
Some are good, some are awful. Like, they're opening this theater because they do have some serious projects. Like, I mean, Marriage Story and The Irishman, like those are like big Oscar fucking films.
Nominated, yeah.
I think Netflix
funded that, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, they're both Netflix film, or at least they bought the rights for it, whatever.
Yeah.
Netflix, as well as that, you'll watch things you never would have watched on Netflix if you didn't have Netflix. I know I wouldn't have watched half the documentaries on Netflix.
Same.
If they were on TV or if I had to buy them. No way. When you have them there, I have a passing interest in that, I'll watch it.
Yeah.
Which is, that's what it's good for, I think.
I love getting a good recommendation for Netflix as well. And I need some, by the way, so if anybody's listening to this podcast, I need a recommendation. I'm starting to dry up on things that I've...
Apparently that You on Netflix is very good. Yeah. I've heard good things.
And Happy. Have you heard of Happy?
I've seen it, but I've never actually taken it too much of an interest in it.
Right, hit me with a piece of your news.
Yeah, we get on to it. Keep it on the theme of TV shows. The Simpsons voice actor, Hank Azaria, fairly famous voice actor and actor these days, has said he will no longer play Apu on the show.
What?
Hank Azaria, a voice actor responsible for iconic Simpsons voices such as Moe, Chief Wiggum, and Comic Book Guy, will be dropping one famous character from his repertoire, Apu. He confirmed that while the future for the character of Apu on The Simpsons is still being decided upon, he won't be voicing the character going forward. He says, All we know is that I won't be doing the voice anymore unless there's some way to transition it or something. Apu is an Indian immigrant in The Simpsons who runs the Quick E-Mart convenience store in Springfield. The character has come under controversy since comedian Harry Kondabolu released his 2017 documentary, The Problem with Apu, which dove deep into the character and representation.
Wow. So it's a racial thing?
Yeah, it's coming out. I mean...
This is so sad to hear, though, because Apu has been around forever.
Well, that's it. A lot of people would like identify as him being a positive force.
Yeah.
At the end of the day...
I don't see it as like the stereotypical kind of...
But then we're not like Indian immigrants in America.
That's very true.
There's no way two ways about that. Azaria has gone on record to say that he's seen the documentary and would step down from voicing the character, but there has been no concrete plans regarding Apu's future.
That's a shame.
It's definitely not something that, had you pitched it today, people would be okay with. We're going to have a white guy do an Indian accent.
Yeah, a very stereotypical Indian accent, and put this guy in charge of a local fucking.
But it always felt like, I know, and we're like pretty distance from the whole thing because we're not American, we're not Indian, don't have any of that, like, kind of.
But even in England, like, that's a very prominent thing, you know, Indian like immigrants like running corner shops and stuff like that.
Yeah,
you know, like, not to be stereotypical, but it's a big thing.
Yeah, like. And like, there's films about that as well, like, but it's I don't know, it's difficult to kind of say. I never thought that Apu was a negative representation of that. You know, he was always like a likable character, I thought.
Yeah, I like Apu.
Yeah.
Although, if it was an Apu episode,
I'd almost tune out a little bit.
Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah.
But I guess it's just news, is what it is. I'm not necessarily happy or sad about that. I haven't watched The Simpsons in years, so I don't really have a right to be annoyed.
Simpsons is still played religiously in this house. Two wieners.
Old school or new school?
Both.
Well, fair enough.
When it's old school, I'll happily sit down and watch the entire episode. When it's new school, I kind of drift in and out.
It is definitely tailored more to kids these days.
I don't like it as much.
No. There's a lot of really good things on YouTube and stuff going into detail about how The Simpsons has changed. How Homer used to be like a person, but now he is a cartoon.
Cartoon, yeah. Yeah. What about this? It turns out that Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 mentioned the bombing of Piccadilly Circus.
Mentioned the bombing of Piccadilly Circus?
Yeah.
What is this? I'm confused.
So one of the more controversial missions in Call of Duty Modern Warfare sees the player respond to a terrorist attack on Piccadilly Circus.
Modern Warfare 2?
Modern Warfare. Call of Duty Modern
Warfare. The new one? Or?
It must be the new one. Oh, yeah, I'd imagine it has to be the new one. But it turns out this is quite an old idea, like Modern Warfare 2 old. So in the newer Call of Duty Modern Warfare, you respond to a terrorist attack in Piccadilly Circus. You haven't played it, have you?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. An eagle-eyed Call of Duty player took to the Modern Warfare subreddit to post a screenshot of 2009's Modern Warfare 2 showing a newspaper clipping found in Makarov's safe house. The appropriately named Redditor Nuclear FPS pointed out one newspaper in particular carries new meaning in the context of the recently released Call of Duty, as it reports on a bombing in Piccadilly Circus. The report continued on another page from the newspaper reads, "The explosion at Piccadilly Circus was heard for miles in every direction. Ryan Lastimosa, a tourist of the US, was watching the changing of the guard less than a mile away at Buckingham Palace when he heard a loud boom. The ground shook so hard that we were practically thrown to the ground. 59 injuries from falling debris alone were reported in the vicinity of the palace. Royal Marines stationed around the area responded in conjunction with local police, but no suspects were apprehended." So basically it's a very long play for them, basically.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
In Modern Warfare 2, they had... And I'll put this picture up
show notes.
On our news, on show notes. But there's the newspaper article in Makarov's safe house.
Oh, that's pretty good.
And if you kind of zoom into it, you can read the whole report.
Would this suggest then, I don't know at all, is the new Modern Warfare set in the past compared to Modern Warfare 2?
Right enough. I don't know.
So maybe this is like an in-universe thing that has been there for like the whole time.
I never played it, and I probably should have played it.
Yeah, so I just couldn't care less about COD.
Exactly.
And these days... So yeah, the big news of the night, Chris.
Please.
National Treasure 3 is moving ahead from Disney and Jerry Bruckheimer.
Oh.
With Bad Boys for Life screenwriter Chris Bremner tapped to write the script. Bremner has also signed on to write a fourth Bad Boys for Sony and Bruckheimer producing. The three Bad Boys movies have been produced by Bruckheimer and the National Treasure movies, the ones thus far created.
Yeah.
Starring Nicolas Cage and as an amateur cryptologist, Benjamin Franklin Gates, was a solid performer for Disney with $347 million worldwide for the 2004 original and $457 million worldwide for 2007's National Treasure Book of Secrets. John Turteltaub directed both films. Justin Bartha, Dan Kruger, Harvey Keitel, Armando Riesco and John Voight appeared in both films. Disney chief Bob Iger addressed the prospects for National Treasure 3 at the annual shareholders meeting in 2016 and 2019. He says, "I know that Jerry Bruckheimer, who produced National Treasure 1 and 2, would like to make a third, and I know that discussions about the film have gone on, probably since 2016, with our studio. But I know that they have not greenlit such a film," Iger said last year. But this is... seemingly went ahead. Now we're going to get National Treasure 3, we're going to get Nick Cage back in action.
Is there any word on what it's based on or nothing?
Nothing. It's just we just know what's happening, Chris.
This is excellent.
What age is Nick Cage these days?
Nick Cage is in his 50s. Like,
fucking hell. The original was 2004, so we're talking
mid 50s,
16, 17 years
ago. Yeah.
That's surprising.
2004 was
2004 the original.
Jesus, I remember seeing that movie. That was... It's incredible.
I love that film.
Yeah, it still holds strong.
Oh, it's a good film.
You know, I think we have it taped on our Sky downstairs. I can watch that later.
That's brilliant.
Yeah.
We have it on tape on a VHS back at home.
Even better. Break it out. The old
original
school.
Way to watch it.
I hate that they call him an amateur cryptologist. He stopped everything. You know, he fucking found what he needed to find, you know. Declaration of Independence was stolen and everything.
There's a map in the bag of it.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing. Amateur. There's nothing amateur about that.
He was too good.
Yeah.
That's why they never let him into the official things. They were worried about him getting in.
Yeah.
Final piece of news, Chris, is that the US Navy has a secret video of a UFO encounter, a report says.
Ooh.
The US Navy says it has classified documents and video related to a 2004 UFO encounter, and releasing those materials would threaten national security, according to a report Friday by Motherboard. I know the board's like a news agency.
Okay.
The Navy reportedly confirmed its possession of the data in a response to a Freedom of Information Act request.
Mm-hmm.
2004, Navy pilots on the USS Nimitz encountered a strange aerial object after researcher Christian Lambright sent an FOIA request, Freedom of Information Act, request seeking additional information about the incident. The Office of Naval Intelligence, or ONI, said, according to Motherboard, that it had discovered certain briefing slides that are classified top secret.
This was a pilot that requested the Freedom of Information? No?
No, a researcher.
A researcher.
It was classified top secret because the materials would cause exceptionally grave damage to the national security of the United States.
What? So
that's why they can't release these documents.
So, and they haven't released
them? They haven't released them. But they have acknowledged they exist. The Navy also, allegedly, the Navy also said Oni has a video classified as secret, according to Motherboard. In December 2017, the New York Times published a one-minute video of the pilot's encounter with the UFO. Several researchers speculate that the Navy could possess the full-length, raw copy of the footage because some witnesses of the incident say they saw a longer, higher-resolution version.
So
there exists a video you can watch on the New York Times, which you can't access unless you pay for, because the New York Times are dicks.
Can you not access New York Times without paying for it?
I don't think so, no.
That's
because they're like one of those like editorial, yeah, you know, you have to subscribe to us.
Yeah. Yes, the editorial.
Oh, yeah, dude. But apparently a longer, more clear version exists of this video.
No way. But they can't release these documents. What are these documents now that they can't release?
This is about the report of what happened.
So a report was written.
And a video, yeah.
And they can't release it because it would cause too much harm to the
exceptionally grave damage to the national security of the United States, according to this.
So something was seen on it.
Something was seen, Chris.
That's a strange play.
Others have denied the existence of such a version, which is higher resolution and longer.
Wow. So how can they deny it if it's on the Times?
They deny the existence of a longer video.
Oh, okay.
One that's more clear. Okay. Former Pentagon staffer Luis Elizondo told Motherboard that people should not be surprised by the revelation that other videos exist and at greater length.
Jesus.
He certainly seems to believe that this longer version exists. Only didn't immediately respond to a request for comment. So what can I say? The US Navy being slippery wee boys.
That's
as usual.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
So something was seen and they're not releasing. That's a strange play though.
Yeah. You know? I mean, that's what they do. They just lock it down, Chris.
Let
people speculate, you know. Yeah. Don't let them see for sure.
Shit.
Maybe nothing. It may just be like a really advanced war fighter jet that they have.
And they want to lock that down. But they don't want to let the enemy see it. Can't let Iran see it now.
That's it.
You know? This is the world that we live in, D.
It's just the world
that we live in. That was the news of
The day.
Yeah, the perfect. Remember, you can find the video version of the podcast over at youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast. And if that's no good for you, or you wish to take us with you on the go, you can take the audio version from any podcast hosting service. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast. Take us with you on the go. And if you're listening to us on Apple Podcasts, if you could do us a massive solid and give us a little rating, that would be tremendous for us as well.
Five stars, guys.
Oh, five stars.
Five stars, yeah. All the way.
100%. We deserve nothing
more
nothing less. No, I don't understand. That would be solid. And thank you for supporting the podcast week in, week out. Mm-hmm. I think it's about time we shifted
segued
into our main topic for this week, which, as Dee has already spoke to us about, is
Alcatraz.
Oh yeah,
it even sounds cool.
Alcatraz is a fantastic name. Yeah. It's like albatross is a great name for a bird.
That is, sounds powerful.
There's a bird called an albatross, and
you can get an albatross in golf.
You can,
you?
Yeah. That's when you hole it in two on a par five.
So three under.
One under eagle. Yeah, four under. Yeah. Wow. Or if you got a hole in one in a par four, that would be an albatross.
Holy shit!
Yeah.
Is that even possible?
Yeah, there's some short holes. Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Oh, I watched disc golf. Frisbee golf.
Disc golf.
Yeah, have you watched that on YouTube?
No.
Yeah, don't waste your fucking time.
You ever watch Ultimate Frisbee?
No.
That's interesting.
Is it? Yeah,
that's interesting. Joe used to play that.
Is that like... Yeah, he did used to play that, didn't he? Isn't that like... correct me if I'm wrong here. Is this like NFL with Frisbees?
It's kind of a mix between NFL and basketball with Frisbees. So it's like, yeah, there's end zones that you have to get into with the disc.
Okay.
But you can't move when you have it in your hands, so you have to, you can only use, like, it's like basketball, you can only move one foot when you have the disc in your hands.
Oh, okay.
So it's kind of, you have to find people.
Oh yeah, because you can't dribble obviously with it.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, you should be able to dribble. You run, you like toss it up in the air. Yeah.
But yeah, and then you kind of have to just like pass it around and.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, there's some really cool things because you like just like glide it in front of someone and they just have to
run for it,
leg it after it, and just like grasp it on the end zone.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, okay. I might look that up.
Something do that.
Okay, don't look up disc golf though.
Okay.
There's so many different discs.
Don't look up regular golf.
They keep talking about disc golf as if it's golf, and it just annoys me. Anyway, let's get back to it. Alcatraz Island, D. How do you want to go into this? Because I know you're going to talk a good bit about.
I have little bits about it, but the main stuff I have is like some of the prisoners who were in there, some of the big bad boys, and the famous escape that happened in 1962.
Or did it happen?
62. It happened.
Attempted escape. Okay. Well, do you want me to start off just by touching a little bit about what is Alcatraz?
Yeah, give us a little background.
Alcatraz Island is located in San Francisco Bay, 1.25 miles offshore from San Francisco. The small island was developed with facilities for a lighthouse, a military fortification, a military prison, and a federal prison from 1934, Jesus, until the 21st of March, 1963. The water currents around the island were high at all times, which decreased the chance of an inmate escaping. And beginning in November 1969, the island was occupied for more than 19 months by a group of Native Americans from San Francisco who were part of a wave of Native American activism across the U.S. with public protests through the 1970s. In 1972, Alcatraz became part of the Golden Gate National Recreational Area and received designation as a National Historic Landmark in 1986. So established in 1934, that's years ago.
That's a long time ago.
Holy moly. That was established before a year before the Second World War? 39. Sorry, yeah.
But yeah, like it's old. For a prison, like...
It is, it's 47 acres, which is quite big.
That's big. That's bigger than it looks.
Yeah, 47 acres smaller is quite than big. Yeah, yeah. And the architectural style, in case you're interested, is Mission or Spanish Revival.
Spanish Revival.
Yeah.
Yeah, because I think it was initially formed by like a Spanish dude, mayor, high-up guy who founded it.
As of currently, it's open to tours and visitors can reach the island in a little under 15 minutes by ferry ride, located from the San Francisco Ferry Building at the Fisherman's Wharf. And events operating under the name Alcatraz Cruises is the official ferry provider to and from the island. It is now home to the abandoned prison.
The abandoned prison, and I believe it's a museum now.
Is it?
He says, yeah. So you can go visit, Chris. We can go visit. We can go on site.
Oh, I like that.
For a special episode.
I'd love that. I'd love to visit San Francisco in general.
Yeah.
I think it would just be a cool place to visit.
I would like to go there too. Golden Gate Bridge.
I think it's Alcatraz. Perfect. Like, when you think about it, like, that is a tremendous idea for a prison.
Out in an island, in the middle of the bay.
Yeah.
It's surrounded by...
It's obviously not man-made. I know that's a stupid thing, but obviously that rock, outcrop existed. Yeah, and they just decided to build.
Yeah, exactly. They wanted to build a lighthouse, then they wanted to build a fort, then they built a prison, and so on and so forth.
It's a fantastic idea for a prison.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, as you said, it has these strong currents around it at all times, like throughout the year.
Yeah.
Particularly bad, apparently, is it low tide or high tide? I don't really know how tides work, but one of the tides, low or high, they're really bad.
Okay, I would imagine that
washes you out to sea.
High tide, then.
High tide. Shockingly cold water.
Is it?
All year round.
And shark infested.
Yeah.
It just has everything.
Great white sharks. So like, you know, as a deterrent for escape, I mean, that's a pretty good thing.
Yeah.
Right there.
Mad currents.
Yeah.
Freezing cold water and the sharks.
The sharks. Also ragged rocks, razor sharp rocks all around it, you know.
And it's electrocuted.
And there's piranhas with lasers. So be careful. Don't go out there, you guys.
Yeah. That's a tremendous deterrent. Yeah. Like, yeah. And a mile and a quarter.
Some distance away from
it
shore.
It is. Like, you can see it, like, obviously off the, from the mainland, but it's still, like, that's a good bit away. Like, a mile is
enough.
You
have to get a mile.
Yeah. It's like exactly 1 mile deep from here to the top of my road that way.
Yeah, that's some distance, like.
That's a mad distance.
Over freezing cold water with strong currents.
Yeah, with piranhas, with lasers.
You can see why it was such a strong, like, deterrent for prisoners and why people sort of, like, you can understand what people would call it escape-proof. You know, inescapable.
Was it used to play host to all prisoners, or was this like a maximum security type job?
This place, Chris, was designed to be a high security prison intended to hold the worst of the worst.
I was about to say, is it the worst of the worst? Thank you.
It's the worst of the worst. It was called all these things. Worst of the worst, intended for the worst of the worst, a last resort prison.
Ooh.
Just for, you know, people who you literally can do nothing else with, and to be completely escape proof.
Okay.
So the idea being, if you're having a lot of trouble with people trying to escape in your other prisons throughout the country, you send them to Alcatraz.
Mm-hmm.
And you actually know that with a lot of the prisoners who were sent here, they do have like previous things where like they attacked guards or they tried to escape or they were manipulating people too much and they were like, you're going to Alcatraz. It also had a reputation, don't know if you got this, of being pretty severe quite unpleasant. I mean, naturally, it's a prison, but like, it had a reputation as the toughest prison in America.
Oh.
Former prisoners reported brutality and inhumane conditions, which severely tested their sanity. Some prisoners even made appeals to like courts, claiming that they were being subjected to cruel and unusual punishment by just by being in Alcatraz.
Wow.
Thought it was, you know, a level above what should be expected. Many former inmates call it Helcatraz.
That's good. That's a good name.
Good name, yeah.
They do make t-shirts. Yeah. I survived Helcatraz.
You get that at the museum gift shop today.
When you leave from your stay.
Yeah. The D block.
Do you know, sorry, before you go on, do you know why it was called, where the name Alcatraz came from? So whenever a Spanish settler first landed, he named it like the island of like the, I forget the Spanish name, but it basically became known as the Island of the Pelicans because there were so many birds nesting.
Right, okay.
And Spanish for pelican is Alcatraz.
Alcatraz?
Yeah.
So Isle de Alcatraz.
Yeah.
There you go. There you go. So it's Pelican Island.
Pelican
Doesn't
Island.
Doesn't sound nearly as good.
You're going to Pelican Island.
Hey, you go to Pelican Island. Yeah. Pelican Island. Pelican Island.
Pelican Island. For all those. It's pretty good.
D Block contained the worst inmates.
Ooh.
And the five cells at the end of D Block were designated the hole, where badly behaved prisoners would be sent for periods of often brutal punishment.
Jesus.
So it was not a pleasant place to be for prisoners.
See, I always picture it to be this like almost like a luxurious resort prison.
You're off on the island of Alcatraz.
Yeah, island is nice and sunny, waters, you know.
Surrounded by the sea, fresh sea air.
Fresh sea air, yeah. You know, what could you want?
No, it was a bad place. And it was like old and decrepit. Like it was even old in 1936, right? When they were setting it up. And apparently because of the sea breeze and the sea salt and all the water that was coming
just
in.
Just completely eroded it.
Just eroded it to shit, like. So it was just a shitty place to be.
Okay. Okay.
Do you want to hear about some of the famous prisoners?
Yeah, I'd love to, actually, yeah.
Who walked inside Alcatraz's walls.
Yeah.
Slept in their shitty little cells. Probably the most famous to ever walk into Alcatraz was Al Capone.
Who was Al Capone?
Al Capone was a big crime boss in Chicago during the Prohibition era.
Oh, in Chicago.
Chicago, man.
Okay, I didn't know that.
So he's basically a glorified bootlegger.
Okay.
So he was like, you know, transporting alcohol around the city and making his money off of that. But he was also like a major crime boss, part of, I forget the gang he was part of, but it was like an Italian family. Mm-hmm. And he kind of was an opportunist in that whenever tragedy struck the family, he was there to step up and take the role.
Right, okay.
And get himself to the top. Pretty ruthless in that way. Considered quite brutal, but not ever involved in brutality. So he would order, you know, quite frivolously, order for people to be killed and hung and, you know, gotten rid of.
He was top dog, though, yeah?
He was top dog. At this point, anyway, at the height of his career. He was also famous. Like, he was like a celebrity in America.
But what, they couldn't touch him? So he was known for being like this?
Yeah, pretty much. He was like...
But they just didn't touch him?
They didn't have anything on him. But like, he was making, you know, he was making money hand over fist. And he was donating money back to charity. Like, he had this kind
of proper Pablo Escobar type character.
Yeah, he kind of had this like contorted, you know, perception as being like a Robin Hood kind of character. He was stealing. Everyone knew he was stealing the money, but he was
give it back to his own little community. Okay.
So he kind of, and he had like that, you know, he had charisma, he had that bravado. His publicity took a serious hit though after the St. Valentine's Day massacre.
Ooh.
Did you hear about this?
No. Maybe.
Basically, rival gang members, he had like his squad was watching them, got them to dress up as police officers and like raid them. So like all the rival gang members, I think there were seven of them in total, were lined up against the wall waiting to be like arrested. And the Capone's gang just whipped out some Tommy guns and just fucking devastated, just ripped them into them, killed them all. Pictures of that then got leaked out and the public were like kind of going, this guy is fucking insane.
Okay. Is that what led to his arrest then?
Now people were calling for him to be, you need to take this guy down. He became public enemy number one.
Okay.
You know, in the media, they were brandishing, this guy has to come down. But they didn't, as I said, they didn't have anything on Capone. So do you know what they eventually managed to put him away with?
Oh, probably something stupid, was it?
Tax evasion.
Oh, tax avoidance.
Tax evasion. He got 14 years for tax evasion.
No way.
Because of the assets he had, and they knew he hadn't paid tax on them, because obviously he got the money illegally. So
all the murder, they couldn't even get him on the murders, they just got him in...
Exactly. You ever seen the movie The Untouchables?
The Untouchables.
Capone's in it. That's kind of like the... They're always trying.
No.
Kevin Costner.
Oh, yes. No, yeah. I have, yeah.
We got to study a clip from it.
Yeah. The pram running down the stairs. Yeah,
it's a famous scene from it. He didn't initially go to Alcatraz. He went to, I think it was in Georgia or Atlanta prison he went to. Atlanta's in Georgia, isn't it?
Yeah, Atlanta, yeah, Georgia.
So he was there for a while, but he was so, he had such a pull on people. He was such a good manipulator. He managed to bribe off, pay off a lot of the guards, and he was still running his empire from within.
From the prison.
Within the prison walls. and obviously the prison warden and other people didn't like this, so in order to get rid of this, they sent him, shipped him off to Alcatraz.
Okay.
And he only actually spent 4 years in Alcatraz.
Did he?
In total, yeah.
I remember we talked about it a bit before that we read a book English years ago called Al Capone Does My Shirts.
Yeah.
About a young family who lived in Alcatraz. But I remember from the book saying something like his cell or where he lived or something in Alcatraz, it was quite luxurious. That'd be right, yeah.
See, whilst Al Capone was only there for 4 years, he's still the most famous guy probably who ever stayed, was incarcerated in Alcatraz. Yeah. And like, there was like a lot of, he was still a big figure. So people, all these rumors were flying about how he's still running it from the inside, still got all his links. He's living in luxury. The guards are really lenient to him. Lots of rumors about this. The guards obviously insisted that was not the case.
Yeah.
And there was, compared to where he was, like he wasn't operating the same way.
No.
He actually left Alcatraz after 4 years, 4.5 years. Because he was, I think he spent about a year of his time in Alcatraz in the hospital.
Oh.
Because he had contracted syphilis and his brain was starting to go. He was just starting to lose.
Right, okay.
He died a couple of years later.
Oh, did he?
He did, yeah.
Okay. So he only served 4 years in Alcatraz?
He only spent 4 years of his sentence
Alcatraz. Okay.
This next guy is actually really cool. You probably recognize some influences of him in films about prisons. Robert Stroud, the Birdman of Alcatraz.
The Birdman.
Again, most of his like kind of famous events happened in a different prison entirely.
Mm-hmm.
But this guy was in prison since he was 19. From 19 years of age until his death, he spent in prison.
So spent, from 19 until he died.
Spent the majority. I think he spent 56 years in prison.
So, and why was he in prison?
He was in prison for... He in Alaska, he came up... was an up and rising pimp.
Okay.
And he killed a guy after...
Alaska of all places.
I know, yeah. He killed a guy after like he abused or attacked one of his girls, we'll say. And that, he got put away from that. But in prison, he was a nasty bastard.
Oh.
He beat up, you know, he got in rows, he beat up inmates. Eventually, he wound up stabbing a guard with a shiv, killing him.
Okay.
And that gave him, that put him in for another...
And why was he known as the Birdman?
Well, we're getting to that.
Okay, sorry.
So for that, for killing the prison guard, he was sentenced to death, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
But his death sentence was commuted or pardoned, and instead the judge agreed that he would serve a life sentence instead.
Okay.
But with the stipulation that while he was waiting to be killed, he was in solitary confinement, and that was like the order in which you'll stay in solitary confinement until your execution.
Yeah.
And the judge decided to carry that forward. So you would stay in solitary confinement until your death.
Jesus.
Essentially sentence him to a life in solitary. Jesus. Which is pretty extreme, like. But this was the fucking 30s.
People go mad in solitary.
Oh yeah, you lose yourself entirely. Yeah. Well, this guy had a way to express himself, at least. In his cell, he came across a nest of three canaries, three birds.
Right.
Raised them, brought them up.
Oh,
and kind of really fell in love with it, started studying about it. He got like access to books from the library. Basically self-taught himself, become an ornithologist, which is like a...
Someone who
studies birds. Got a little bit more rights. He was given equipment so that he could do experiments, test stuff. He wrote books about this. Jesus. With the diseases in canaries.
So he just turned his life around.
From within prison. He was still quite a nasty bastard.
Yeah.
But he
cared for his birds.
Exactly, he cared for his birds. In his time in prison, he raised 300 birds.
Jesus.
And he could sell them. People who came to visit the prison, could buy one of his birds.
Is there a story on this? Is there a film on this?
There's a film, called The Birdman of Alcatraz about this.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Original.
Yeah. He got moved to Alcatraz later on because they thought he had way too much sort of freedom with the situation he had in his current prison. So he was raising birds, he had all his equipment, he had access to books, to libraries, he could publish books and stuff. Like, he made money off of the books.
He could publish books from prison, from solitary confinement.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He was he should have been making money from the books that he was selling, but obviously the prison was holding on to all of that.
Did he ever get out of prison?
He did not, he died in prison.
Oh, that's a shame.
He was sentenced to life and he served it. Whilst in Alcatraz, he actually got assessed by a psychologist, psychiatrist who diagnosed him as a psychopath, but gave him an IQ of 112.
So he's a smart dude.
He's an intelligent fella. But yeah, he died in prison. Not in Alcatraz. He got moved out of Alcatraz after its closure.
Alcatraz has held some pretty famous people.
There were other people in there, and I never got like a biography on them. One of them was like Machine Gun Kelly.
No way.
I've heard of him. He claimed to do a lot of like deeds, but it was never proven. He was kind of like a popular criminal. Lots of people went through the walls of Alcatraz. But funny enough, it was quite small. It only had a capacity, I think, of like 312.
Yeah, and just now that you're touching that, I have a little fact about that. It was... Let me see. It was never full. The average number of prisoners was 260, but as few as 222 and as many as 320, but never filled the capacity.
There you go. Funny enough.
It also did not have a death row.
Oh, yeah, because you weren't... There was no executions carried out at Alcatraz either. Other prisons had those. What was one thing that I was going to say there? Over the lifetime of the prison, it only contained 1,576 inmates total over the 30-odd years that it ran.
That's not a whole pile.
It's not a whole, but compared to prisons today.
I'd say a lot of those guys who like maybe served like 30, 40 years, like that just became a home to them. Like,
that was just your life.
So institutionalized there.
Yeah.
Wow.
It is crazy.
I'd love to read some of their stories.
It was expensive to keep a prisoner in Alcatraz.
Was it?
Yeah, it was about three times as expensive as other prisons in the country.
Why?
Just because of where it is and maintenance on the building and getting food and resources out there. Apparently the food was quite nice in Alcatraz as well. Some inmates commented it was the best food they ever got in a prison.
Jesus.
It was in Alcatraz. Because I think the guards and the inmates shared a canteen.
So if the guards were getting good food,
they were eating the same food.
Yeah, because as you say, like conditions were quite squalid, like for the you know remainder of it, because the cells were smaller than a closet. Did you know that?
Yeah.
In the B and C blocks, the cells were about 5 by 9 feet.
5 feet wide, like that's because your bed.
And in that, you had a sleeping cot or your bed, basically a toilet and a small sink, which was cold running only. So to put that in comparison, most like walk-in closets today that are made in homes are 6 by 6 feet.
6 by 6, like that's ridiculous.
5 by 9, so not even one of us like wide.
That's insane. There's no room, but like I mean that's prison.
Yeah,
it's not about back then. It wasn't about like trying
it's
to
not about
people.
Luck. Yeah, it's not about luxury.
That's your cell. So you're gonna live because you committed a crime, Sonny.
I agree with that though. You know,
yeah, I don't know.
Prisons today are like a little hotel.
I don't think they are, man.
Do you think?
No, I mean they don't have money to make a little hotel. I think the worst prisons are just retarded because all you're going to do is make that person bitter and twisted and hit the world.
They have a lot of luxuries in prisons though nowadays, you know?
I don't think they do, man. Like,
Well, they're allowed TVs and stuff.
I know, but like...
Like PlayStations and all that kind of stuff. I mean, it's just... And like, you're getting 3 square meals a day.
For like an hour a day. But it's like, I think if you're
If you're homeless, you're better off in prison.
Well, yeah, you're probably better off in prison, yeah.
I don't know. I just think...
But it's like, you got to keep those people alive. I mean, you're better than just... Otherwise, you're just putting them in a hole and you're just...
But you can't... They kept these people alive in Alcatraz, I guess.
I know, yeah, but it's like...
Barely. I mean, they committed the crime to be alive there, so...
But this is it, like, Chris. Back then, like, there's people who were in here for stealing a car.
Okay.
Like, for car theft. Yeah. Got you 12, 15 years in prison. If you tried to escape, you went to Alcatraz and you lived in...
See, that's how it should be, though, you know?
But, like, think about it. If you kill somebody, you're in the same cell as someone who stole a car.
Okay, yeah, so there's no differentiate between...
Two of the guys I'm going to talk about never used weapons in their robberies. So they never intended to hurt anybody. They stole money. The people who suffered were the state, were the banks.
I don't know, because they still made that decision to do the crime.
Yeah.
Now they got to do the time.
They knew the risks, yeah. But yeah, it's like the risks are not proportional to the crime.
No, okay, that bit's fair enough.
I don't know. I think like... I read a lot about reform in prisons, and it's like, if you look in like, I think it's Sweden or one of the Nordic countries anyway, it's like the chance someone will reoffend after being released from prison, like, is halved.
Why is that?
Because they're treated like people.
Okay.
And they're educated, and they're actually going to prison, you can come out with like a qualification, you can go get a job.
It's almost like a big risk though, isn't it? Like if you have someone coming in who's you know, operated a pretty heinous crime, and you're going to say, it's okay, you know, we're going to take this person in and we're going to
reform them
and put them back out in the street. Maybe he's someone who's like raped or killed or something like that. That's a big risk.
And they can do it again.
Because all it takes is for something just to slide or click.
That is true. Like,
and then it's on your head that you've put this person back out on the streets.
You get them back out in the streets.
You know?
But is it right to kill them and just like be done with it? Because you can't keep them in prison for the rest of their life.
I think they should bring back capital punishment.
Just finish them off?
Well, it depends on the crime, I guess. Like for stealing a car and theft and stuff, I wouldn't say.
But murder, like kill
murder,
someone, you die?
Like child, anything with children, I think you deserve. Yeah.
Fair enough.
Although it's almost like an easy route for them as well, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. See, are you supposed to make these people suffer? Is that it? Like,
yeah,
is
no,
it about
true,
suffering?
Yeah.
We're getting off topic.
We are,
we're
yeah.
We're talking about prison reform.
Yeah.
But like, you watch films like The Shawshank Redemption, and you're like, I mean, they committed crimes, but it's like, do they not deserve a chance to be forgiven?
You know what I mean? Andy Dufresne was an innocent guy.
What about Red, though? He wasn't innocent.
True.
Those other guys weren't innocent.
I know.
It is difficult. It's like, when you're away from it, it's hard to just sort of say, yeah, fucking.
I know, yeah. It's easy for us on the outside looking in, yeah, absolutely.
I watched an interesting show, just one last thing on this, but a guy who was in prison, he's just talking about prison life and the things you got to do to survive in there, and like the way that you're dehumanized.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, when the prison guards come over and treat you like an animal, that's what you're going to be.
Yeah,
you're going to turn into an
right
animal.
Enough, yeah.
Anyway, here, back on track.
Yes,
back on track.
Because you're going to talk a little bit about the Alcatraz.
I'm going to talk about the escape.
Yeah, that's what we all came here for.
The great
real.
Escape
yeah.
of Alcatraz, man. The inescapable island. Funny enough, it's not the only time people try to escape.
No, I've heard this. Yeah, there's been countless attempts.
Quite a few indeed. There were a total of 14 escape attempts.
Okay, maybe not countless, but 14.
14. You can count that pretty easily. 1.5 hands. 2.5 hands. 3 hands.
2.5 hands.
Fuck sakes. There were a total of 14 escape attempts from the Alcatraz Island made by 36 different prisoners throughout the prison's lifetime. 2 men tried twice. 23 were caught. 6 were shot and killed. 2 gave up. And 5... are listed as missing and presumed drowned. So there's 5 people total. We don't know what happened.
Presumed drowned. I think that's almost unfair.
What do you mean?
Like, give them a chance.
Give
presumed
them a chance.
Alive and well.
We'll talk about all of this, actually.
Okay,
there's 2 notable escape attempts. The first one is called The Battle of Alcatraz. It happened in 1946.
The Battle of Alcraz.
3 prisoners decided they were going to try and make their way out. I'll just cover this really quick because it is quite interesting. There's actually 6 total. 3 started it, maybe 4 started it, and then 2 others joined during the attempt. Bernard Coy, Joseph Kretzer, Sam Shockley, Clarence Carnes, Marvin Hubbard, and Mirren Thompson. They daringly took control of the cell house by overpowering correctional officers and were able to enter the weapons room and obtain the keys to the recreation yard floor. Their aim was to escape by boat from the dock, but when they failed to obtain the keys to the outside door, they decided to battle it out instead.
Wow.
In the fight that ensued, they managed to hold 2 correctional officers hostage, whom they eventually killed after 2 days. So they kept them hostage for 2 days.
Jesus.
During this time, riots were breaking out across the island for inmates who were let out. The US Marines were called in to try and stop this, what was happening. Shockley, Thompson, and Carnes eventually returned to their cells when they realized that they weren't going to get out. The other 3, Coy, Kratzer, and Hubbard, persisted with their fight, and eventually they were killed by US Marines during this battle. Apart from the guards and prisoners who were killed, so the 2 guards and the 3 prisoners, 17 other guards and 1 prisoner were also injured. The 3 who got back into their cells and didn't continue, or no, the 3 who didn't get back in their cells were tried for the killing of the correctional officers. The other 2 were sentenced to death. Oh, sorry, no. They were sentenced to death through the gas chamber, an action which was carried out in San Quentin in December 1948.
San Quentin? Wow.
So the guys who proceeded with this and didn't die were sentenced to death.
But the ones who went back to their to their cells were fine?
Yeah, because they never committed... Well, they never killed anybody.
Okay. Wow.
Oh, no, sorry. Shockley and Thompson, those were the guys who... Yeah, the other three were killed... Escaping. The other 2 went back to cells. 2 of them were sentenced to death for killing the guards.
No way.
Yeah, that's what it was. Apologies.
So all of them were killed, essentially. Bar one.
One survived, Carnes. He wasn't sentenced to death.
Jesus.
But yeah, apart from that, the other big one is the Great Escape.
The escape
from Alcatraz.
Okay.
You've probably heard about this in like stories over the years. There's a film about it with...
The movie Escape from Alcatraz? Clint Eastwood.
Clint Eastwood. Mm-hmm. He plays the ringleader.
That's right. It's a good movie, actually.
A really good movie. And it's a great story. It's, some of the stuff in here is really quite interesting. It occurred in June 1962.
Okay.
And this is towards the end of the life of Alcatraz. Mm-hmm. Alcatraz is sort of, it's costing a lot of money to run. It's mm-hmm. falling apart. Mm-hmm. As you'll see here, it's not as secure as it once was. There's four men.
Okay.
Part of this conspiracy. The four men were. Frank Morris, number one. This is the ringleader.
Okay.
Main organizer of the guy, Clint Eastwood.
Yeah.
Orphaned at 11 years old and beginning his criminal career at the young age of 13, Morris jumped in and out of prisons for crimes across the country such as armed robbery and car theft. After successfully escaping Louisiana State Penitentiary, he was apprehended a year later while committing another robbery and was then sent to Alcatraz. So he had to serve out his sentence for the initial crime, the second crime, and the escape attempt in Alcatraz. So he was, because he was like a flight risk, had attempted to escape before, successfully escaped. That's why he was sent off to Alcatraz. The next two fellows are John and Clarence Anglin.
Okay. Brothers?
Brothers. This okay. is crazy now. I can't get over this. The Anglin brothers were committing robberies as a team since the 50s. So like they were like a... there was a squad of them. There's a couple of brothers more than these fellas. Always choosing institutions that were closed to rob so that no one was ever hurt.
Okay.
So these are the guys who didn't want to like kill anybody or hurt anybody. They claimed to have only ever used a weapon once in a robbery. It was a toy gun to instill fear.
Okay.
After they both attempted escapes in Atlanta prison, they were transferred to Alcatraz in 1960 and 1961 respectively. So they were both sent to Alcatraz at separate times. Despite this, they were put in cells beside each other, which I just don't understand who was running that, made that decision.
It goes off a surname.
Yeah, it's like the two brothers who tried to escape from prison are put right beside each other. Jesus. The final conspirator was Alan West, who was in prison for car theft and attempted to escape from a Florida prison before being transferred to Alcatraz. So that's the guy. He just tried to steal a car and got 13 years for it. And he tried to escape, and that's why he wound up in a thing. He was also a bit of a... He had a low IQ, we'll say. Had the education of an 8th grader.
Okay.
All of the men were in their 30s in 1962.
Yeah.
Apologies. So they were fairly young. They kind of had a reason to get out. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
They were no sooner assigned adjacent cells in December 1961 when they began formulating their escape plan. Although always under the leadership of Morris.
Mm-hmm.
So Morris is the big guy. The guy in charge, organizing the whole thing. All right. So their first step was there was ventilation shafts on the back wall of their cells.
Yeah.
So little vents.
Yeah.
Right. The first thing that they wanted to do was to widen these.
Widen. So
dig around them. Break around them. They used discarded saw blades. So like from the workshop that had been left around the yard. Metal spoons and even an improvised drill, which they created using the motor of a vacuum cleaner. To sort of break around the hole in this wall. They covered the ever-widening hole with a painted cardboard like facade that they just set in front of it. Sometimes they would cover the noises they were making by having Morris play his...
Harmonica
during the music hour, so they could cover up the noises they were making digging through this. When the holes were finally big enough for them to fit through, that gave them access to the utility corridor that ran along the back wall of their cells. So right behind their back wall was this utility corridor for like access and like vents and shit like that.
Yeah.
This corridor was unmanned. And from there they could climb up to the top level of the cell block, which was entirely vacant.
Right.
So there's a bit of a gap right there on this inescapable
prison. Top layer, there was no one there.
No one up top, and there was this whole corridor that wasn't manned by guards. In this space on the top floor of the cell block, they were able to cobble together life preservers and a raft made of stolen raincoats.
Jesus Christ.
So these like plastic raincoats. They seamed them together with stitching and then sealed them using the steam vents, the steam pipes.
No
way. Just to sort of seal these things together. They made a raft and life preservers.
No way. Yeah, like buoyancy jackets. Like
jackets. They also removed a fan grill from a ventilation shaft that then would give them access to the roof. So they had to remove like the fan in front of like a vent shaft, and they could climb up that vent onto the roof.
And they managed all this without guards even
without knowing anything. And over the course of 6 months, from December 1961 right the way through to June 1962, they worked by night, filling their empty cots with pillows to fool the guards. Not only this, they also created a type of papier-mâché head.
Oh, God.
Do you remember this from the movie?
Yeah, I do, actually, yeah.
So using soap, toothpaste, dust, and toilet paper, they made this like kind of makeshift papier-mâché.
Dust.
They painted it using equipment from the paint shop, glued hair to it, which they stole from the barber shop, basically made these little faces that they could put in their cots. It was obviously lights out at this point, so any guards walking past would just see sort of a lump lying there with a human-looking face.
Yeah.
That is just madness. Yeah, and it worked perfectly. Like it was never questioned. It never brought up any suspicion whatsoever. Right the way through to June 11th, when they enacted their escape. So on the night of June 11th, while their fellow inmates slept, three of the men crept through the holes in the back wall of their cells and made for the roof. Alan West, however, was unable to join them, as he had made the decision recently to shore up the hole he had made in the wall using a kind of makeshift cement, because it was crumbling, it was starting to fall apart. So he didn't want the guards to notice that his back wall was starting to fucking fall apart. Yeah. So he had like kind of
sealed the whole thing back up.
No. And he couldn't get it open again. He couldn't recreate the hole. By the time he recreated the hole, so he could fit through and get up to the roof, the other three were gone.
Shit.
So this poor guy had done all this work and he'd messed it up. He couldn't get it away. So whenever that happened, he literally just climbed back, got into his cell, covered the hole and went to sleep.
No way.
Just forgot about it. It was too late. For Morris and the Anglin brothers, however, they were able to sneak up onto the roof undetected. The loud crash that was made by them breaking through the ventilation shaft was ignored by the guards. So the guards heard this crash, because nothing else happened afterwards, they just didn't bother investigating.
So they kind of got lucky with that one, I guess.
They got lucky with a lot of things, you know. The guards just weren't really... I think
they were fed up at that point.
Do you know what I think it was? When you talk about an island that was surrounded by high currents, cold water, shark infested, a mile and a quarter from land.
You're not thinking anybody's gonna...
Exactly. Yeah. You're getting complacent.
We're pretty safe here.
Exactly. That's what it is. But of course, these guys did have all that to contend with. They had the strong currents, the cold water, the shark infested water, and the distance to cover.
Yeah.
They had a makeshift raft and life preservers, but like they still had a lot of work to do in the dark.
Yeah.
But first they had to get out of the prison because they were still on the roof.
Yeah.
So in order to get down, they had to scale down 50 feet from the roof using a ventilation pipe from the kitchen.
Christ.
50 feet off of the roof, right the way down to the ground. And then they had to scale two 12-foot barbed wire fences. Two fucking fences.
Jesus Christ.
And then they managed to do all of this with a makeshift raft and life preservers.
Yeah, right enough.
They climbed the fences at a blind spot from the guard towers on the northeast shoreline. Isn't that ridiculous? Like,
that's unreal.
I guess the guards were completely complicit.
All the while taking this fucking makeshift raft with them.
Like. Three guys.
That's a big thing to take with you. Like,
it was deflated though. So like,
true. Okay.
When they got to the shoreline, they inflated the raft using a modified concertina, like an accordion.
Yeah.
So they changed it so that they could pump and inflate the raft.
Wow.
It's just homemade
fuck pump, basically.
They're so fucking like...
They're so smart.
Yeah. Like, they were so efficient, handy.
Yeah.
With all the stuff that they'd done. So they inflated the raft and set off, heading northward towards Angel Island, which was 2 miles away. So they had 2 miles to cover in the darkness of night.
Why did they head for... Obviously, they're not going to head for mainland because it would be too obvious.
I'm actually not sure. I would guess that they wanted to keep away. They didn't want to get caught by these guard towers. Yeah. So they just maintained this blind spot they were in.
That's an extra 3/4 of a mile. Like,
it is, Jesus. Yeah. They had the raft, so I don't know. This is it. Did they make it through the strong currents and the blistering cold waters in the San Francisco night? Did they make it across the Angel Island and into freedom?
And how far is Angel Island from the shoreline then? Do we know?
No, I think that's more or less you're back on mainland at that point. So did they make it?
Like, Jesus.
This is where the facts stop, because we don't know anymore beyond this point. They disappeared off into the night and we have never heard from them since. Disappeared into the night, or...
But did they drown?
Did they die?
Did sharks get them?
Well, the FBI certainly believed that they didn't make it.
Why do they believe that?
After discovering the missing inmates and an extensive air, sea and land search was carried out over the next 10 days, Various items were discovered, including a makeshift paddle, a wallet containing photos of one of the Anglin brothers' friends and family, and material that was believed to be the remnants of their raft. But there was no sign of the men.
Okay.
So the FBI maintained that the men must have drowned, claiming the difficult conditions and the discovery of the personal items. They were like, these were the only things that these men had. They wouldn't have left them behind.
Did it say anything about them waiting like for like the perfect weather or anything to go? Did they factor this in, or was it just a case of...
It was just a case of this was the night.
This was the night, okay.
Yeah. I'm actually not sure why they chose that night. I could probably look into that. The FBI were basically spooling the line that they drowned. There was no... You can't make it across these conditions at night without drowning. It's too difficult. And a lot of people were kind of okay with that. That made sense. Like, they didn't believe you could... That's two
I think miles. A lot of people want to believe that. The three inmates didn't make it off Alcatraz. I don't know.
Yeah, exactly. Back the FBI certainly wanted people to believe that. They didn't want people getting any ideas that there's three convicts out on the loose. But some people did show their doubts about this FBI line of reasoning. Yeah, the biggest concern was that no bodies were ever found. Like, dead or alive, they never found the bodies. There was also claims that boats were spotted in the area around 1 a.m. like illegally, like where they shouldn't have been. So some people speculated that they were there to assist the guys, get them out. They used contacts on the outside, but that's unsubstantiated. That's just a guy saying, I saw a boat. So the FBI couldn't really take it into consideration. A body was spotted floating 17 miles from the Golden Gate Bridge 1 month after the escape.
Yeah.
But it was never recovered or picked up. It was just spotted by a passing sea liner.
Okay.
And they reported it in like September of that year. So they reported it a couple of months later. And most people kind of just doubted that it was any of the three escapees because it was like a full month.
Mm-hmm.
So they were like, I don't think a body can stay afloat for that period of time. There was also a man who jumped from the Golden Gate Bridge 5 days prior.
So more than likely.
Like, okay. They could have made that distance in that time.
Jeez.
There was also, 8 months after the escape, human bones discovered. Human bones that belonged to a man of Morris's age and height. But
would human body disintegrate within 8 months in the water? I don't think it would.
Well, I'm not sure. I don't know how it works in the water. Does that speed it up?
I remember listening to a podcast about this before. I think it does speed it up,
Anyway, up the rot all they can confirm is that it was a man of his height and age. But they couldn't confirm, you know, how long he'd been dead for or any of that stuff. So that was inconclusive as well. Missing out, you know, there was just no way to, you know, nail it down.
Conclusively say yes.
Exactly. The official FBI position is that while it's theoretically possible that the men survived, the odds of this are like so small that it's not even worth considering seriously. they also would have expected reports of like thefts on like around where they landed. So theft for clothes, for cars, money, some way so they could make it out of there, you know. There was no reports of that, so they were like, it's very unlikely they made it.
Listen, if these guys are smart enough to be able to escape from Alcatraz, they're not going to give themselves away as soon as they hit
They're not
going to
just pick up that much. Yeah. Because you can steal things like clothes pretty easily, like just off of lanes and stuff like that.
True.
I'm sure they could have worked it out. This is where it gets interesting. All right, this is pretty cool. Okay. In December of that same year, so December 1962.
They escape in June and this is December.
This is December, okay. Alcatraz inmate John Paul Scott successfully swam a distance of 2.7 nautical miles from Alcatraz to Fort Point.
Shit.
So he swims 2.7 nautical miles.
This is another escapee?
Another escapee.
And he swims it?
He swims it. Now, he has a little... He took gloves, work gloves, inflated them and put them around his arms as like for buoyancy to make him. He swam 2.7 nautical miles, which is like 3 actual miles. So he swam further than they had to go using worse
equipment.
And in December, in freezing cold, way worse conditions.
Holy shit.
In more unfavorable conditions.
And was that guy arrested? Was he picked up again or...
When he finally made it to the far end, he was found by a couple of teenagers suffering from hypothermia and exhaustion. So he was just completely beaten by the swim. And he had to swim the whole way.
Did he die?
No, he made it. He actually fully recovered and was brought back to Alcatraz. So he never got away with it, but he made the swim, which was bad for two reasons. Number one, it showed
it proved that it could be done.
You can swim it.
Yeah.
And obviously that had been another more or less successful escape attempt, but he got brought back in. Today, the very same distance that Scott swam is covered frequently by athletes as part of a triathlon.
Yeah.
So they swim that exact same swim. So it is possible to swim in.
Yeah.
These men had a raft.
Yeah.
And
which gave them an even life better preservers. Chance. Yeah. So even if they only made it halfway on the raft, you know
and
what
it
I mean?
Fell apart. Had, yeah. You still had life preservers and you could still could have swam it, right? And there was three of them.
It's not looking good for the FBI.
There was three of them, right? There were also, this is really cool, there were also a few reported sightings in the following years of the three men. So an old school friend of Morris's claimed to spot him in Maryland in 1967. So 5 years after the escape, he says he spotted his old school friend. He says he had a small mustache and beard, but that was it. It was fairly certain it was him. There's also reports of John Anglin, one of the Anglin brothers, was living in Brazil. And that was taken so seriously that US or FBI agents actually went down to Brazil to investigate that. Nothing ever came of it. This is really cool, Chris. So the Anglin family, so family members of the two brothers, received a series of postcards over the years. Sometimes they were unsigned. Other times they were saying Jerry or Joe or something like that. So we have Clarence and John were the names of the two brothers. Their mother also received flowers anonymously every year on Mother's Day.
That's unreal.
Right? Yeah. So like that's kind of suspect. That was until her death in 1973, where it was reported two very tall and unusual women in heavy makeup had attended the funeral.
That's brilliant.
Before disappearing.
That's brilliant.
Right?
Oh, shit.
Like,
yeah.
That's a bit mad.
Oh, yeah. They made it.
Similarly, two strangers appeared at the funeral of the father in 1989, who stood in front of the casket for a moment, wept, and then left. So, I mean, that's a bit weird.
Ah.
You know?
Oh, they made it.
Is it a bit weird?
You like to think they made it, Jesus.
The FBI officially closed its file on December 31st, 1979. Okay, so they were like, no longer actively investigating this.
17 years later, though, mind.
Quite a while later. So they in their opinion, they had exhausted all their leads, right? However, the US Marshals Service investigation remains open to this day.
Okay.
And they actually still receive leads to this day.
What age would these guys be?
Oh, gosh. 60,
62.
They're in their 30s and the 60s. They're dead now, like.
70s, late 70s, 80s?
No, they'd be 90s now, Chris.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit,
it's 2020.
Oh, shit, yeah. So, what, pushing 90?
So, the youngest one.
So, let's say for argument's sake, he was 30.
No, they were like
31.
Morris was 36, 37.
He's the youngest?
He's the oldest.
Okay, so let's say for argument's sake, 33.
Right, okay.
So 33 and 62, 72, 82, 92, 2002, 2012. Add what,
52 years? 52 years, so he's...
the 85?
Yeah, they're pretty old.
Okay.
If they're still kicking today.
They could be alive, yeah.
They could have made it then. Like, that's the important thing, is that they actually made it away. Or two of them, or one of them did.
Yeah.
Strange as it is. They could have done it. You know, I think it's possible they could have done it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But here's the cool thing, right? The US Marshals Service, the investigation remains open to this day. Uh-huh. Now, one of the marshals made the comment, I think fairly recently, that in San Francisco, two out of three bodies of missing people are found. So 2/3 of all bodies that go missing in San Francisco are found.
Right.
So we have three men who disappeared.
Yeah.
And you're telling me not one of them could have been found.
Yeah.
Dead or alive. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like, okay, it's weird that they didn't find anything like this. So they're...
Nothing.
The US Marshal Service are of the opinion that this is still worth investigating. Yeah. They're still getting active leads. They say there's an active warrant and the Marshal Service doesn't give up looking for people.
It doesn't give a fuck.
They don't give a fuck. FBI, not a chance. Yeah, we're on this.
Oh, wow.
So it is a mystery to this day.
It's still open. Like,
whether they made it or not. They're still investigating. They're still trying to find out, Chris. You know, there's nothing conclusive saying that they made it, they didn't make it, but there's little hints.
I like to think they made it, like, you know, you're always rooting
because
for the
underdog. These are the same guys you said you wanted to have.
I know, but if they escaped prison, like, you know, that's...
They put the work in, didn't they?
Yeah. Holy shit. That's
they
impressive.
Obviously never committed another crime worth getting caught.
Yeah.
So they did make it, they maybe were rehabilitated.
That's impressive.
Their experience. But it's a shocking thing. The fourth member...
whatever happened to him?
He returned to his cell, and whenever it was discovered that they had escaped and the hole in his wall, he fully participated and he told them what the plan was and what happened. And because he was so
open,
forthcoming, forthcoming. They didn't charge him with the escape.
Okay.
So he was...
He just served whatever...
Just served the remainder of his sentence. He actually, I don't think he made it out of prison.
That's a shame.
No. I think he either did. He died anyway. He's dead now.
And Alcatraz closed shortly after this then, didn't it?
Yeah. Alcatraz was shut in 1960.
69, was it?
63.
So a year later.
1963, yeah. It was closed.
Shit.
So it's closed, yeah. Basically, less than a year.
Does that mean it's closed, as in, like, we're not taking any more prisoners, but
as
these
in,
guys
this is no longer...
It's done. We're done.
We're moving these guys somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
It costs too much to keep people working there, to keep... Okay. And for the repairs that were required, yeah. It's just too much. So they shut it down. It was Robert Kennedy, I think, made the call to shut it down.
Good old Bob.
Bobby Kennedy.
That's insane, D.
Isn't that some story, though?
That's a brilliant story, yeah. Yeah, that's really, really cool. It puts me in the mood to watch the movie again.
I know, I'd like to try it out, actually. I'd like to watch maybe a documentary or two and get a little bit more...
I really wish those guys had come out now, in their 80s, you know, when it was just too late to have kind of done anything.
And
wrote a book.
Yeah, exactly. I would just... If that was me, like, I'd write that in my will. Like, as soon as I'm dead, as soon as I croak, let the world know what happened.
Yeah.
You know?
Maybe they will.
But if they're dead...
Or they could already be dead. Yeah,
they could have died.
I wonder, do their families know?
That's it. I mean, they were young men. Like, they were 30s. Yeah. They led a life. If they survived, they led a life after this.
I wanted to tell, like, their spouses and their kids, you know, I escaped, but you got to keep it under wraps.
Yeah, yeah.
Strange,
isn't it?
I know.
It's mysteries like this keep me interested. It's like D.B. Cooper.
I know, yeah. Know? They keep me up at night, D. keep me up at night.
Yeah, there's like, shows and podcasts and documentaries all dedicated to investigating this and keeping the leads going. And the Marshal's Office have gotten leads from these people before and they've investigated, but still nothing conclusive, Chris. Still nothing to confirm what happened to those three men.
Well, that's brilliant.
It is. This escape from Alcatraz, and it was, in my opinion, I think they made up. I think one of them made up.
Yeah.
One of the
three. if that guy swam it in December.
Yeah, exactly.
And he swam further, and it was December, as you say.
Yeah,
and he only
conditions.
Had like armbands, basically.
Exactly.
And these guys, three guys, went on the raft in June. Oh yeah, they made it.
I think they could have made it, man. I think they could have made it. And they got there. I don't know what they did the far side, but they were smart enough not to go and get
maybe
caught.
As you say, maybe they had people in boats.
Yeah, they might have had that.
I don't know how they would have contacted the mine, but
well, they could write letters and stuff.
Oh, okay.
You know, so they could have agreed, you know, be here at this date and we'll get out of here, you know.
Wow.
It's crazy stuff. Crazy, crazy stuff.
Someone should make a movie nowadays, like, based on, like, what they think happened as such. You know,
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Our best guess of what they did.
Our best guess, yeah. Because at the end of the day, no one's come forth and said, no, that hasn't happened,
yeah.
So...
It's not necessarily false.
You can kind of run with it, you know. He was hit by dinosaurs. That's brilliant. Yeah, thank you for bringing that to our attention, Dee.
Nessie swam over and ate him.
Alcatraz is brilliant. I'd love to visit that.
Yeah, that would definitely be worth the old ferry trip out.
Yeah. There's a lot more in Alcatraz, but I think a different part of it I want to cover in a different podcast because there's rumor that it's extremely haunted.
Prisons are haunted.
Yeah.
Like we already talked about a bunch of people who died there. Officers, yeah. Mm-hmm. Prisoners... Prisoner shot escaping.
Were there hangings at Alcatraz?
No, there was no execution.
There was no execution whatsoever.
I don't think so. Yeah.
But yeah, I watched a show one night with my dad. It was paranormal at Alcatraz, and man, that's some freaky shit. Like,
prisons are fucked up, especially that one when it's out there and we're living in depraved conditions, man.
It spoke like to guards and stuff and about like their time, and they were saying, "Oh yeah, there's definitely stuff there." So I think I'd like to talk about it, but maybe in a different kind of podcast, maybe about a paranormal podcast or something. You know, we'll
definitely
do that.
Definitely worth checking out.
I don't think there's anything else I need to touch on in Alcatraz.
No, not
I'm
for this.
Happy to have covered
I thoroughly enjoyed that.
Good,
reading
thank
about
you.
That
thank
was
you for bringing that.
A pleasure.
We hope you enjoyed that too, and remember that you can find the video version of the podcast over at youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast, or you can take the audio version with you anywhere you want to. Just search for Empty Promise Podcast on any podcast hosting service, and leave us a little review or comment if it's not too much effort. Thank you. Thank you
very much.
Just enough time then to wrap this one up with what we got up to during the week.
Personal with the podcast.
I would like for you to go first because I want to hear. There's two things I want to hear from you. Okay. One of which is you're vegan.
Yes.
And the other one is what you've been watching.
Okay.
Because I want to review.
Oh, yes. Indeed. Yeah, so I did my very first vegan day, Chris.
How was that?
It was actually dead on.
Okay.
The only thing that kind of irked me a bit was I had to try falafel for the first time.
What do you think of falafel?
You know, I just need to find the right thing to go with it.
Okay, what did you have it with?
I think it's fine. I had, so for lunch, I normally have chicken tikka wrap. So this time, I just had falafel wrap.
Oh, falafel wraps are good.
I had tobacco onions, I had some peppers, I had some rocket lettuce. I had sweet corn with it as well, so I regretted.
Why?
Because it's too sweet.
I love sweet corn.
I know, I like sweet corn as well, but it was just too sweet in a wrap. It's too overpowering for me.
Okay.
And I had some fucking Southwest sauce.
Oh, okay.
Which I think is vegan.
It depends how it's made. You can get vegan alternatives, but if it's made like with a mayonnaise base, it's probably not vegan.
I don't think it's made with mayonnaise.
Okay, base. Okay. Then yeah.
It's like a dark brown.
Yeah, I think I know the one you're talking about. Yeah, that should be fine. Because like a lot of those barbecue sauces and stuff like that are vegan.
I think it's okay.
I think I know the one you're talking about. What is with that, the Southwest sauce being brown? That's weird to me. To me, Southwest sauce was always like a yellowy, mustardy orangey kind of color. Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong.
No, I know what you're talking about because I also get O'Kane's in RMI if you ask for Southwest. It's like a runny barbecue sauce.
Yeah. That's what we had.
Yeah.
It's like barbecue, but it's not as tangy. It's not like
and theirs is fine, so I'm assuming that the one you had is fine.
So I had that. That was my only concern, was the barbecue Southwest sauce.
Okay.
And that was pretty nice. It just, the sweet corn kind of ruined it. And then the falafel was kind of like curry-y or something. And I was like, maybe I should find a better base to go with this.
Okay.
But anyway, it was fine.
Okay.
And then my Dr. Pepper is vegan, so that's good.
Okay.
Let's hop with that.
What'd you have for your dinner then?
For dinner, I had pasta.
Oh, good. Right? Good. Excellent, yeah.
But funny, me and Laura have been doing this just naturally. We used to always have like pasta and mince and stuff. Mm-hmm. And then one time she just made the, it was like a tomato and chili. Excellent. And she just made it without the
mince.
Yeah,
so it's just like a ragu, basically. Yeah, just it was a sauce. Lovely. It's unbelievable. That's an absolutely cracking dinner. Yeah, I love that. I like to add a lot of vegetables when I do that one as well.
Yeah, we had no vegetables. With it. It was super basic. It was kind of because we were tired as well. I didn't want to have to cook or nothing.
That's a great dinner.
I had that bad boy, and that was literally it, Chris.
Oh, okay.
So
do you have breakfast? You don't eat breakfast.
I don't eat breakfast. See, that's my trick.
Okay.
That's my ace in the hole. Okay. I also had popcorn, and I had
good.
For my lunch, I always have like a little thing, a banana and a little sliced apples.
Yeah.
As well.
Good.
And what else did I have? I had green tea instead of regular tea that morning as well.
Well done. Did you find you were hungry at all during the day?
No. Because I was eating the same thing I ate. Mm-hmm. I have a wrap every day for lunch. Mm-hmm. I just had falafel in it instead of a meat.
Good.
I was kind of annoyed though. I want a better meat alternative in there. I want something that's just a little, the falafel is just a bit too mushy.
Okay.
But I was just like, if I get the right thing to go with it, I think I can make that work.
Good. Okay.
I think next thing we're going to do falafel, red onion, tobacco onion.
Do you do lettuce?
Yeah, I do a little bit of rocket lettuce.
Okay, yeah.
I don't think I'll do the sweet corn. It was just too sweet as well. I need something a little bit...
Do you do tomato?
Thicker. There is sun-dried tomato there.
Sun-dried tomato is good. It can be overpowering as well, though.
True. I don't like regular tomato slices.
Oh, you don't?
I'm just not a fan.
Okay. And you did red onion?
I didn't do red onion. I like red onion too.
Yeah, you should do red onion.
I normally have red onion, but I switched it up for the vegan day.
Okay.
There's also Buddha bowls in there. I want to try one of those.
Buddha bowls. Nice. Okay.
So I think I'll mix it up next week.
How did you find after the day? Did you feel any? Obviously,
I was actually surprised. I didn't feel very different at all. No. I kind of regret it because it's like I should have done something more spectacular for the first one.
As in,
like I should have done like a fucking like a. I really want to do like a potato curry or something like that, you know?
Yeah. Something, oh, like go all out. Like
something really vegan-y, you know?
Mm, yeah.
Someone would look at you going like, you're vegan now, are you? And I'm like,
Oh, yeah.
It's Wednesday, yeah.
I highly recommend, you know Blue Dragon? The brand Blue Dragon?
For like the sauces. And stuff.
All their stuff now is vegan.
It's vegan.
It's very hard to not get vegan Blue Dragon.
You have like a wee stir fry.
Brilliant. A lot of good curries. Their pastes and stuff, they're all vegan friendly. So sure, I highly recommend you look down that
one. Yeah,
definitely. They do a really good Malaysian coconut curry, which is very good.
Nice.
Very good.
Nice.
You get yourself some nice vegan naan bread, some rice, a few chips on the side.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a nice dinner.
One I want to try really badly, I don't know why, is potato curry. I just think that especially if you fry the potatoes a little bit first, I think it'd be so delicious.
There were potatoes in the curry that me and my sister got at the Portmore for her birthday.
Mm.
It was a coconut curry, but it came with potato chunks in it.
Yeah.
And I thought this was weird.
So did I, but then the
but
more
it
I
just
think about
works.
It, like, you know, like curry and chips.
Yeah.
It's basically just
it just
that.
Works, yeah. I also got a side of chips, but you know, we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was actually dead easy, but then that's one day out of the week, and it's like you're just mixing, you're just changing little
just
things.
Just change a little thing, yeah.
If you're going to actually go full the whole hog, like you need the variety and stuff, like you would have to mix it up.
Oh, yeah, I get it.
add some things, but I'll try and make, I'm going to make a meal next time rather than just pass,
okay,
pasta you're technically
good.
Making, yeah, yeah. Up, but you know.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you put a bit more effort in. Than,
yeah.
How is your water drinking going?
Badly. For 2 days this week.
I meant to pick you up. This is the bottles I was talking about. I meant to pick you up one of these.
Oh, I see.
I'll pick you up one for the next podcast.
Very good, very good.
750 mils, D. Yeah,
2 days are completely, I literally just forgot. Water bottle just sat there empty all day. I got one towards the end. I got half of it done on Friday there. But I think it was Tuesday. I just completely forgot. Got to do it, man.
That's a shame.
But other days,
it's
I'm
okay.
Doing,
you just got to get back good. On it, you know.
Yeah, I don't really care if it
happens all the time.
I'm just, like,
yeah,
I keep going.
Yeah,
because that one, that New Year's resolution, isn't like as soon as you miss one, you feel this is like
it's just like it's something that you want to just. It's like an
just
upkeep.
Keep doing
kind of
it.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
But yeah, that was pretty good.
Good.
What else? Oh, I also had a Five Guys. That was our big treat during the week.
Brilliant.
Just to counteract the vegan.
Counteract. Yeah, you didn't want to go too vegan.
It was really good. It's always really good.
Victoria Square.
I think so. I got a Deliveroo, so.
Oh, yeah.
I don't care where it came from, man.
It What's it like, Deliveroo? Good?
It's pretty good. Holds up. Travels well.
Good.
Because they wrap it in that foil.
Yeah.
So it travels pretty well.
The fries?
The fries were good too, yeah.
The fries are like my favorite part.
They are really good fries. The peanut oil.
It's incredible. They just know what they're doing, you know? Do you get a milkshake?
No.
Oh.
We don't get the drinks.
I don't know if that would travel well.
I don't think that'll travel.
No,
we got a milkshake. We got McEats or Uber Eats, McDonald's.
Okay.
One time the milkshake did not travel well.
No.
The whole meal didn't travel well. It was a disaster. We never got it again.
Okay. Okay.
But yeah, apart from that, Chris, this week has been entirely bland.
Tell me what you... Oh, okay. I'm trying to think if I've had anything nice to eat this week. Out of the ordinary, no. Hang on. No. I've had some Lay's super chips. Like crisps?
American Lay's?
Yeah, no, you know like Lay's that you go like on a Spanish holiday and instead of having Walkers, you have Lay's?
Yeah.
We started stocking them, but they're like crinkle cut, but they're quite thin and the ready salted ones are delish. So I ate the entire like share bag the other night with some jelly tots.
Nice.
It was...
Fair play. Jelly tots are a good one.
Jelly tots are incredible. I watched Pirates of the Caribbean back to back.
The full three?
Yeah.
It was on Reddit the other day.
Yeah.
Did you see that?
No.
I was like, I need to watch these
It
again.
Just happened, the first one happened to be on ITV2 last week and we watched it. And then the second one was on like during the week. And I was like, you know, we might as well just watch all these.
Yeah,
and me and my brother, Michael, sat down and watched them all. Brilliant.
Those three films are just, I think they're great.
They're brilliant.
It's like our generation's Indiana Jones.
Yeah. I seen the second one in the, I seen the first one at your house for the first time.
Yeah.
I seen the second one in Monaghan Cinema with you. And then... We went and seen the third one in the cinema. Yeah,
well,
me, you, and a couple of the boys went to see it years ago.
Oh, yeah.
It was like Arma Cinema House or Film House, whatever it was.
Brilliant,
yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, really good.
I remember watching them all. Was it all back-to-back or
the
second two?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that was brilliant, yeah. Which one's your favorite?
I don't know.
Mine always used to be the second. I like the Curse of the Black Pearl, but the third one to me is just incredible.
See, yeah.
It is so much good.
This is what I was reading. People were saying like the second and third don't hold up compared to the first. And I was like, the first is great, but I think the second really just takes it to a whole new level.
Yeah.
And then there's elements of the third that I prefer, but like, I think you have to take this as a package.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You have to take it as a package.
They all run so well into each other.
The first one's probably my favorite because it's the one I watched the most because I was young. And
yeah.
That was the one I had on DVD and I watched it fucking repeatedly, as young kids do. But
the third Pirates movie just holds up incredibly
well. It just completes it. I wasn't expecting such a solid trilogy out of it, you know.
Mm-hmm. And then they fucked up after that, but we don't need to talk about that.
It's cool.
They just milked the franchise a little. Tell me what you've watched because you wrote to me during the week.
Yeah. We watched a few more episodes of The Haunting of Hill House.
Yes.
And yeah, it's just got more intense each episode. Sad, man.
Isn't it?
It's so sad.
It's poignant. Like,
it feels so bad for certain characters.
You know what I mean?
It's like, it's just not fair.
You did watch the one episode that I wanted you to watch.
I did.
Two Storms.
Yeah.
You think it's, yeah?
I was just.
It's a great.
I felt like I was in the room with them.
Fucking.
Because the camera, as you said, it's all continuous take looking. And I just felt like I was one of the people in that room. They were obviously at a wake type event.
Yeah.
I felt like I was one of the people in the room mourning. That's what I was like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then
it
as they jumped
past the present.
Past the present.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, I was so happy. I was so psyched as well that we finally got some new perspectives from the dad and the mum.
Yeah.
Because they had seen some fucked up shit.
Yeah. Big time. Oh, I just got goosebumps thinking about it.
And
man.
The kids, the twins have obviously seen some shit. The other ones are kind of like, they know it's weird, but they're like a step back from these, from the mum, dad, and the twins.
The two, yeah.
They're seeing some fucked up shit.
Yeah.
And, but the episode before it, I think, was better.
Really?
I think, I honestly go.
Remind me of what the episode before
that's
it was.
That's Nell's episode.
So, I'm trying to think.
Just follows the youngest girl the whole way through.
No.
Her life, you know, from being a kid, being her husband.
Where she gets married and all the husband and then...
Everything.
He...
Yeah, yeah, that okay, happens. Yeah. And then the bent-neck lady, that whole thing, yes. That really was just like, I was like, I feel so bad for this girl.
Yeah, she had a really, really She's rough, no and no one believed her. And yeah.
I'm also happy to see that what's the youngest guy called?
Luke.
Luke. I'm happy to see he's like involved in it, because he was always just like, Luke, oh, he's way off being a drug addict.
Yeah, Luke's a big part of the
oh,
story.
Is he?
Yeah.
Well, that's, I can imagine, because he was in the... I love the mystery that they're building up.
I know.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
The Red Room. What's in the Red Room?
I know. Oh, it's so good.
I'm so psyched. There's 10 episodes, Chris. There's not yet. There's 10. I'm so happy that there is.
The final episode, I think, just... It's a beautiful episode.
Oh, is it?
And the father... You just have to watch it.
Okay.
It's so fucking good.
As I said to Laura, as we were watching it, like, she wouldn't be a big fan of horror-y type films.
Yeah.
But... It's almost like the horror is only complementing the story, which is so good.
That's what I love about it. Yeah.
I need to find out more about this family, about these people, and what happened in that
house.
I have to.
Yeah. The house is class.
The house
reminds me so much of the Resident Evil house. It's insane.
Resident Evil 4?
No, Resident Evil, like the original, like the first house you walk into. But that was a recommendation from the main man, and probably my best recommendation I've got in terms of watching.
Super solid. Yeah. Super
very,
solid.
Very, very good. So thank you for that one. Yeah. Do you watch anything else this week?
I don't think so.
I've been meaning to get to the cinema to see 1917.
Yeah, yeah. I have to see it. I'd like to see it. I'd like to see Knives Out as well.
It's a murder mystery, yeah?
I think, I'm not really sure.
As far as I know, it's a murder mystery.
The Gentleman as well.
The Gentleman, yeah. Really
quite a few I want
to
see, but...
It's getting that time.
Yeah.
I watched The Prestige, like I spoke to you about. I watched The Prestige and I watched something else.
Did it hold up?
Oh yeah, it held up. I watched that Two Popes. On Netflix. Yeah.
What's it like?
It's okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah.
I mean...
It's a movie about popes.
It does a good job of telling the story. And it kind of gives you a bit more insight into what goes on in the Vatican. And then that's it.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah...
I think the most exceptional thing about that is how much those guys look like the two popes.
It's insane. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's really, really good.
That's what shocked me about it.
I definitely watched something else, D. What else have I watched? What did I watch last night? Oh, I watched 47 Meters Down.
What's that?
Two friends go, like, you know, like where you go into a cage and you go down and look at sharks.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But the cage breaks and they sink to the bottom and they run out of air and they're out of range for contact and radio, but then they're still in shark infested waters. Yeah.
They swim their way.
It holds up pretty well. And I watched the Lego Batman movie.
Oh, nice.
God, have you
seen that?
Oh, my God.
I've got to watch that.
Like,
I gotta watch that.
Like my dad was in stitches at it, like, and him laughing just made me laugh.
Yeah,
and it was one of those. It just kept going. It is.
He was one of the best parts of the Lego movie.
It's a fucking tremendous.
Yeah, I'll check it.
Yeah. And they make so many little references to like DC and Marvel, and yeah, you add that to your list.
I'll add that to the list.
So good, and it's like a Will Arnett.
Yeah, Will Arnett. Yeah. BoJack. The final season trailer is out.
Have you watched the final trailer?
No.
What is it, 6 episodes?
Yep.
Oh, God.
The Lego Batman movie. That's on the list, Chris. It's on
and
the
I
list.
Watched the Joe Rogan podcast, well, half the Joe Rogan podcast with Robert Downey Jr., which I highly recommend.
Doolittle. Has bombed.
Has it?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's not going to do so good, Chris. It's just not a good film, apparently.
Okay. He was very eager to make that movie as well.
Was he?
Very eager, yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
He lives on a farm with his
He lives in a lighthouse.
Does he?
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
He did one of those, you know, Cribs videos, except like a posh Cribs.
Yeah.
And he lives in a fucking lighthouse.
Wow.
I think, is that what it is? Or like a windmill or a tall building. That's what he lives in. He's a crazy guy.
He lives on a rescue farm as well. Like, it's a rescue...
For animals?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So that's why he kind of wanted to do Doolittle, very much so. But it's kind of hard to... That's what Rogan was questioning about. He goes, it's hard to pull away from being Iron Man, like, you know? Because that's
He is Iron Man.
He is Iron
he
Man.
He has
you know?
Personified that.
He's a great actor, don't get me wrong. Sherlock Holmes, he's a perfect cast choice.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, he's Iron Man, you know?
He'll get past that. He's getting older, so he'll kind of mature, I think, into different roles.
The roles will mature as he matures with them.
Yes.
Yes.
Manure.
I can't think of anything else I've done this week. I mean, it's only been a week. We're back after a week, weekly, which is nice. Baby. We're back weekly. I definitely watched something. I can't think of what it was, D. I had a couple of big runs this week. I ran yesterday. I did 12 miles yesterday morning.
I had the runs this week.
Which was good. Did you?
No.
That was more interesting. But that's fine.
Good runs is good, girl.
Yeah, good runs is always good.
Cool runnings.
And I need to push this out for my mum before she talks to me about it again. She's doing a swim for charity in March to raise money for leukemia.
Really?
Leukemia awareness or leukemia... I forget what it is. She's swimming at a serious distance. It's in up in the pool in Ballymena.
Ballymena, hey.
Yeah. So she's doing that. So she's in training at the minute for that. Wow. And she has a sponsor page at the minute on Just Giving, a fundraising page. And she's doing really, really well, raising the money for it. The page is justgiving.com/fundraising/DeniseCallahan1. But I will include that in the show notes of this. Yeah. And
have it in the YouTube as well.
100%, yeah. It's for a fantastic cause.
Callahan.
Callahan 1, yeah. So yeah, it's out there now. If anybody feels like donating to a fantastic cause, please do so, because every little bit is greatly appreciated. So I will look forward to going and supporting her then in March.
March.
I forget what date it is in March, but it's in March. No, it's very, very close actually. And today's the day I find out whether I'm running in Leadville in Colorado in August.
Today's the day?
Yeah.
I thought that you had the news already.
No, and not to 8 p.m.
Oh my God.
8 p.m. So
I'll find Drop me a text and let me know how that goes.
I will, yeah. I've decided though, if I don't get into it, I'm going to go for the Connemara 100, which is...
It's 100 miles,
it's
boy.
100 miles in Connemara in August, so look forward to that.
Big one either way.
Yeah, so just looking forward to getting through this day and getting some dinner and going to watch the football now after Liverpool and United on TV.
Is that today?
That's today, yeah.
My gosh.
I don't care very much for the Premier League or for football, but big games I'll tune in.
Well, big games are always good, especially when it's old rivalries like that.
So I'll
watch. I can see a good feisty game there.
Yeah, hopefully. So I'll watch that this evening. And that'll be about me. What are you doing this evening?
I'm going to go back up to Belfast, and not much of a plan to be honest with you.
Good.
We're definitely going to watch another episode or two of The Hill House. Meant to do last night, but just didn't get around to it.
Good.
Trying to play The Witcher, trying to read The Witcher, trying to watch Hill House. Yeah. Lots of things I want to get done.
I actually haven't played any Witcher this week. I was just too busy this week.
I don't think I've played any this
week. Didn't even get around to it, yeah.
So
I will, but...
those are all on the to-do list and the bucket list.
I think I have
for the week.
Like 2 days off back to back this week, and then the same the following weekend. Oh. So I might make the most of that.
I'm desperate for a day off. Yeah. All of next week I can't even take it off because we're so short staffed. We're so under the gun.
Yeah.
So it's like
it's quarter one. You know, it's the first quarter. It's the same. I think it's the same in every company. Like straight after Christmas, it's like that big push. Yeah. You know, just to get back on track and back doing.
But I think this is it. What do we have? Payday coming up, Chris. What's today's date?
Today is the 19th.
So is it even? Do we have another week to go after this?
Your monthly pet?
Yeah.
Oh.
So I've been waiting. It's been a tough grind because we got paid early in December. So it's been...
Oh, that's
it's going to be like 5.5 grind. Weeks before
Jesus.
We hit... Maybe 6 weeks before I hit my next, you know...
Holy pay. Smokes, man.
So we're waiting desperately for that, Chris.
That's a big one. Just yeah.
Let things ease off. But it's good. It's good. It makes you... Put you in the right state of mind for the year, and you kind of go, let's not be expanding extravagantly. Let's be... Watch
good.
Your...
Good.
Counting our pennies.
Good. I'm glad. Glad to hear that. Nothing else you want to add?
Look after your pennies.
You said you had a quote. Have
and
you got
pounds
a quote?
Look after themselves, Chris.
Was that your quote?
No, but that's a good quote.
That's a fantastic quote.
Is it that or is it the other way around?
Look after your pennies and the pounds will take care of themselves.
That's it.
Yeah.
No, the quote I have
is
for anyone out there who has taken on a New Year's resolution to
good.
For a creative endeavor of some description, whether it be making a podcast, making a game.
Where did you get this quote from? Might I add?
I'll give you the source.
Okay.
It's Ben Yahtzee Crawshaw.
Okay.
Now, if you never heard of him, you may have heard of the zero punctuation videos on YouTube.
I have,
it's him.
Oh, okay.
And he, in last year, undertook a challenge to create 12 games in 12 months.
Wow.
He just make a little small, like indie kind of games. But he does a dev video every week, and I was watching his most recent one. He came out with a beautiful quote, which I personally
You took
really
the time
enjoyed.
To write it down.
I took the time to write it down. It was
tell
that
me
good.
This quote then.
He says, a creative project is like a tuna fish. It will die if it ever stops swimming.
Oh.
So there you go. If you're in the middle of a creative project or some sort of creative
just
endeavor,
keep
just keep swimming. Dory, just keep swimming. So if it's if you're writing a book, just write a paragraph, write a word, or if you
just keep going, yeah.
Yeah.
Right enough, because if you stop, you will die.
Yeah. If you stop, you'll die. That's the worst thing. If you just take 2 days break, one day it's like, that'll lead you to two, that'll lead you to three, and you come back to it and you're stuck and you're like, I have so much to catch up on. But yeah, I just thought that was a good one. I was like, that's a good way to keep you motivated.
Yeah, that's good. That's why we're back with a weekly podcast.
Exactly. Be like the tuna fish, because as soon as you miss one, you're gonna die.
And on that fantastic quote, let me just say thank you to everybody who's tuned in on the weekly basis. We hope this podcast finds you well. You will find the video version over at youtube.com/EmptyPromisePodcast or take us with you on the go. Any podcast hosting service, just search for Empty Promise Podcast. Get in touch with us with your thoughts, opinions, comments, whatever, over at any of our social media pages. That's Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook. Just search for the handle Empty Promise Podcast, or our email address, which is
EmptyPromisePodcast@gmail.com.
Yep. Thank you to everybody who tunes in on the weekly basis, and we look forward to seeing you bright-eyed and bushy-tailed next week for episode 94. We'll see you then.
Goodbye and God bless.